Hi, I'm Gary Check, lead pastor at Grace Community Christian Fellowship in Flint, Michigan. And you're watching Growing with Grace. This show is intended to be an opportunity to teach God's Word and to understand it in a way that helps us as believers and followers of Christ to live lives worthy of Christ as well. We hope that you enjoy this biblical teaching from Growing with Grace.
It's a story by Lori Wahlberg, and the pictures that you'll see right up there, well, those pictures are by James Bernardin. So let's find out about the legend of the candy cane. One dreary evening in the depths of November, a stranger rode into town. He stopped his horse in front of a lonely storefront. The windows were boarded shut, and the door was locked fast. But the man looked at it, smiled, and said, "It will do." All through the gray short days and the long dark nights of November, the man worked. The townspeople could hear the faint pam, pam, pam of his hammer and the snish, snish, snish of his saw. They could smell the sweet, clean scent of new lumber and the deep, oily smell of new paint. But no one knew who the man was or what he was doing. The mayor hoped he was a doctor to heal his illness. The young wives hoped he was a tailor to make beautiful dresses. The farmers hoped he was a trader to exchange their grain for goods. But the children had the strongest, deepest wish of all. A deep, quiet, secret wish that none of them said out loud. No one spoke to the man. No one asked if he needed help. They just waited and watched and wondered and wished. But one small girl watched and wondered and waited and wished longer than she could stand. And one snowy day she knocked at the stranger's door. "Hello," she said. "My name is Lucy. Do you need some help?" The man smiled warmly and nodded. Then he opened the door and Lucy stepped inside. A long counter ran down the side of the room. Bare shelves filled the opposite walls. In the back were dozens and dozens of barrels and crates. "Could you help me unpack?" the man asked. Lucy's heart sank at the sight of all of the boxes. What if they were only barrels of nails and bags of flour? But she removed her dripping boots and hung her coat on a peg. On stocking feet, she crossed the rough wooden floor and knelt beside a crate. "Please, open it," the man urged. Slowly, Lucy put her hand into the box and pulled out an object wrapped in tissue. Round and heavy, it almost slipped through her fingers. Lucy trembled a little as she unwrapped it. It was a glass jar. Lucy gave the man a puzzled look. "Go on," his nod said. So she unpacked another glass jar, and another, until she was completely surrounded by jars of all shapes and sizes. Some were tall and thin, some round and squat, jars with lids, jars without lids. "Now," the man said, "for something to put inside." And he pulled over a huge crate stamped with a strange word. As Lucy unpacked, her eyes lit up. It was candy, her favorite candy, gumdrops. "Try some," the man said. She popped one in her mouth. Now she could hardly unwrap fast enough. Peppermint sticks, taffy, lollipops, chewing gum. Wide-eyed, she looked at the man. "We wished," Lucy said. "Yes, I know," said the man. "And here it is. Welcome to Sonneman's Candy Store. I am John Sonneman." Soon the small store was filled with candies, gleaming in their glass jars. Raspberry suckers and tiny lemon drops, brightly colored jawbreakers and long tangles of licorice, pink and white peppermints for church and butterscotch balls for company. Then, in the very last package, in the very last crate, was a candy Lucy had never seen before. a red and white striped candy stick with a crook on the end. "What is this?" Lucy asked. "This," Mr. Sonneman explained, "is a candy cane. It is a very special Christmas candy." "Why?" Lucy asked. "Tell me," Mr. Sonneman said, "what letter does it look like?" Lucy took the candy and turned it in her hand. "J," she said. "Yes," Mr. Sonneman smiled. "J for Jesus, who was born on Christmas Day." "Now turn it over. What does it remind you of?" Lucy turned the candy in her hand. She peered down intently. "I know," she said finally. "It's like a shepherd's staff." "Who were the first to find out about Jesus' birth?" Mr. Sonneman asked. "Shepherds in the field," Lucy answered, "watching over their flocks by night." "But Mr. Sonneman, what are the stripes for?" Lucy asked. The man's eyes grew sad. "The prophet Isaiah said, 'By his stripes we are healed.' Before he died on the cross, Jesus was whipped. He bled terribly. The red reminds us of his suffering and his blood. But then," Mr. Sonneman continued, "the candy is white as well. When we give our lives to Jesus, his blood washes away our sins, making us white and pure as snow." "That," he said, "is the story of the candy cane." "Is it a secret?" Lucy asked. Mr. Sonneman looked at her for a long moment. "It's a story that needs to be told," he said. "Will you help me share it?" It was now the depths of December. The town was whipped round by blizzard winds. For days, the sun hid itself. But every morning, Mr. and Lucy ventured out. They wore heavy woolen coats and bright hand-knit scarves, and in their stiff, mittened fingers, they each held a bag. They went to every house in town. They traveled to every farm in the country. They knocked on every door. In every home, they told the story. They left a small gift, and they gave an invitation. On the afternoon of Christmas Eve, the sun finally broke through the clouds, and Sonneman's candy store officially opened. The mayor came, feeling better than he'd felt in days. The young wives came dressed in beautiful smiles. The farmers came, eager to trade grain for Christmas gifts. The children ran in dizzy circles. Yes, their wish had come true. Yes, they had come to share in the opening of the candy store. But they shared in something more, something bigger, something better. On that Christmas Eve, they shared the story of the candy cane. They told of the miracle of Christ's birth, the misery of his death, and the mercy of his love. Merry Christmas, guys.
In the bleak midwinter, long, long ago, earth stood cold as iron, water like a stone. Snow was falling, snow on snow, snow on snow. In the bleak midwinter, long, long ago, cherubim and seraphim thronged the air. Cherubim and seraphim worshiped him there. But his mother only, in her maiden bliss, worshiped. worship the beloved with a kiss. What shall I give him, poor as I am, if I were a shepherd? I would bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. What shall I bring him? Bring him my heart. What shall I bring him? Bring him my heart.
It's always a challenge to think of what can be said on a night like this. The story doesn't change. Our lives change. But his story has continued for, we think, 2,000 years, but it's much longer than that. I was perusing through the Old Testament and preparing for tonight and asking God to give a word, and came across Isaiah. And Isaiah said in chapter 9, in verse 2, "The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them." And a little farther, he says, "And you shall multiply the nation. You shall increase their gladness, and they will be glad in your presence. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. And there will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore." That's a mighty promise. And when I think of mighty promises of God, I have to picture in the Ten Commandments, as Moses stands there, and as the Red Sea parts, forget about the other plagues and that was okay, that came and go, but there was imitations, but parting the Red Sea, now that was something else. That was a mighty work, part of God's plan to get the nation of Israel out of Egypt. I think of the many battles that God had came alongside his people and told Gideon that you've got too many people, so I want you to take all the army down to the water and watch out for the ones who lap with their hands, and some who the various ways in which they drink, and we're going to divide the army that way. Cut down by thousands and thousands to a few hundred, defeat an army, an enemy against them. Now that's a mighty plan by God. The great things that he did to reveal his power, his might, and his glory. Man. But what Isaiah said really resulted in being a simple plan. A simple plan that is revealed in Luke. The night in which Jesus was born, Luke says that in the same region there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today, in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angels a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. You see, God offered a mighty promise, but he brought it about in a simple plan. He brought it about in a way in which all of we could understand. All of us can accept the birth of a baby. It's cute. We were at my wife's side of the family this afternoon, and there was a grandniece, I guess, little 7-month-old child would just entertain you. Man, she can move all around and do stuff, and she doesn't have words, but she talks, you know. We're anticipating our first grandchild in a few months. And I'm looking forward to putting this gray hair to good use as grandpa. I've been accused of it too many times in my last 2 sons. No, he's my son. Now I'll be grandpa. You see, the birth cycle which God gives is a simple plan, because all of us come into the world the same way. And God chose to bring his son into the world in a way which we could understand, but in a way also that would change us forever. John is very fond of calling Jesus the light of the world, the light that would light men's lives and hearts. We talk about peace on earth and goodwill towards men, and we find it harder and harder to see that nowadays. We see quite the opposite, but you know what? They saw that 2,000 years ago too. There has never been the good old days. There's only been the old days. And God provided a simple plan by which we can know him. You see, that's what Christmas is all about. The simplicity of what God has done for man. In his love for his creation, to reach from his very heart and to present his son. The world will try to change it. The world will try to diminish it. The world will try to make it less powerful than what it is. But here is the mighty promise that's there, that those who believe on this child that grew into a man and died upon a cross, for those who believe that he is who he says he is, their sins are forgiven, and they're promised eternity with God forever. That's a mighty promise, but a simple plan as well. And I think that it's harder and harder to hear that plan, harder and harder to hear that simplicity as we get so caught up in so much that's going on. Christmases of today are different than when I was your age, and I was your age at one time. I've got pictures to prove it, although they might be in black and white. One day, you'll grow up and remember how it was and how it's changed. But the thing that we have to keep in mind, though, is that God's love never changes. God's love is the same today, tomorrow, as it was 2,000 years ago and 2,000 years before that. He gives us in this time an out, an opportunity to say Merry Christmas. My friend and colleague Roland is really good about making sure that when he hears Happy Holidays to give the good message of Merry Christmas, because it is a time when we celebrate the birth of Christ. Even though technically he was not born on December 25th. But it doesn't matter. Because God's mighty promise came with a simple plan, a simplicity that we can keep in our hearts, not just in this day, which is important, but each and every day that we live our lives. The gift of salvation that is given through his death, burial, and resurrection, believing that he is who he said he was, changes your life forever. It doesn't make this world perfect, but it gives you the promise of a world that is perfect that's going to come in our lives. And it's a great adventure. It's a great journey. And I just pray that your Christmas is blessed. Even in difficult times, remember that God is not weak. He hasn't abandoned us, and he's as strong and as gracious as ever. and take that Christmas spirit out with you. As you leave in this place, may you leave a bit changed, a bit lighter, as God continues to watch over you this night and every night.
Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. While shepherds kept their watching, those silent flocks by night. Behold, throughout the heavens, there shone a holy light. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Christmas morn. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born.
Thank you for spending this time with us. And just a reminder that we're a church, a non-denominational Christian church on Davison Road near Center Road, right next to McDonald's. And if you've enjoyed this service, if you enjoyed this message, please come and spend a Sunday morning or Sunday evening with us, and we'd love to see you in person. You can read more about us at www.grace247.org. God bless.